Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. And you know, I'm out there a lot, get to meet so many of you, and so many of us deal with chronic health issues. And so we are so blessed to have Dr. Troy in studio with us. In fact, we're starting a monthly feature, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, answering your questions about health, about diet, chemical imbalance, even emotional health, spiritual health. You won't believe what a treasure trove of wisdom we have in Dr. Troy. Couple of quick announcements. We are so excited to announce our new station, 1290 AM in the Hartford, Connecticut area. Welcome to those of you listening from Hartford, Connecticut. Would you believe I've still not received one email from you yet? And we do this, like I said, every time we start a launch into a new market on Live the Promise, we offer this. First one of you listening to Live the Promise to email me, Susie at myfaithradio.com. Let me know you're out there. We'll send you a gift pack of some great books off of our Faith Radio shelf. And also, if you're a Chip Ingram fan, he's so fantastic. His ministry is offering the entire MP3 album of his popular series, The Real Heaven, What the Bible Actually Says. They're offering it absolutely free. All you have to do is go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Take advantage of this special offer from the ministry of Chip Ingram. So we're answering questions on chronic health issues, answering questions on diet, exercise, and how all of these things play into our overall health. Naomi is checking in from Superior, Wisconsin, I believe. Naomi, is that you? You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. What's your question today?
Well, I have a couple questions, and I'll try to be really quick. For probably about 5 years, I've struggled with a neuropathy. I've gone to the Mayo. I've had tons of incredible tests done on me, and we think that it was a root canal infection that I had. And that's led to my toes burning, especially at night. Mm-hmm. And it just flares up, and I don't know, I've done all kinds of weird, crazy diets, and I don't know, I just really struggle with trying to figure out how to get rid of this neuropathy, and they call it parathesias. I'll get like little mosquito bite feelings throughout my body, and that's one problem issue that I have.
Naomi, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish.
And then in January, I started experiencing intense ear pressure pain, and I've been getting wooziness from that, and the doctors just can't seem to figure out what is going on with that either.
What I wanted to say to you, Naomi, before Dr. Troy chimes in here is I hear the weariness in your voice, and I just know what that is when you just get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. So love to pray with you once Dr. Troy's done chatting with you, but do not give up hope, okay? There are answers, like Dr. Troy said, and I just, you know, sometimes God does a miracle. Sometimes we see it, right? But lots of times he connects the dots. But don't you think, Dr. Troy, that's part of the healing process? He untangles some of the things because everything's woven in there with our fears and our hurts and our pains. But go ahead and speak to Naomi.
Yeah, 100%. I'll speak a little bit on what you're saying, too, because a lot of the suffering that we're going through, it makes you the person you prayed to be. And so that is true in my case. I went through a lot of suffering early on in my 20s, and the clinic I have now is because of that.
Yeah, good point.
And so just hang in there. There is a reason, there is a rationale for why you're going through stuff like this. Now, to make some specific comments on what's going on, when we deal with root canal stuff, those infections affect a very important bundle of nerves. They have the potential effect in that in our and around our face and then down close to the brain there. And if the doctors can't find stuff, that's actually a really good sign that it's not something serious as far as life-threatening serious, and that part of it is good. However, there are usually consequences to high levels of dysfunction like that, like infection. And when someone has something in their jaw or face that leads to that level of instability, there are physical consequences that will affect the nerve. So with traditional neuropathy, a lot of times they'll treat that with B vitamins and other cofactors that help the nerves themselves. But the reality is it's usually coming from something higher up, that another part of the nervous system that was affected because of the original dysfunction, in this case being an infection. So if there's someone who is gifted with cranial sacral therapy, they can work and identify dysfunction in and around the head, neck, and jaw that may still be there even though the infection is gone. So they have to discern whether or not if that's there or not, and if there's permanent damage to the nerves in neuropathy. Like we see neuropathy that's more permanent with diabetes, where the nerves are dead and gone. And if the doctors can't identify that for sure, then you've got a lot of hope in the fact that people who do cranial sacral therapy or work on the consequences of the tooth infections, they can find that stuff. And recently, we do thermography in our clinic where we actually shoot an infrared camera into the face. You can see where these infections are still there. So even though they might show up other places, you can actually see the infections in the gums and some of the where there's past dental work that are still influencing the nervous system. So that is also important. If someone locally will probably do thermography and cranial sacral, maybe not together, but the combination is where I'd start just to get some identification of something that might be out of balance, because when you start to correct the cranial dysfunctions, it really impacts how the brainstem and the rest of the nervous system send signals down to your legs and feet. And so it doesn't take much for the spinal cord to be impacted to feel it as neuropathy in our feet.
So she, being from Superior, Wisconsin, should Google?
I would say Google at this point.
Okay.
Yes. I don't. If I know someone close, I will always make that reference. Mm-hmm. I don't, off the top of my head, know of anyone close there. But yeah.
Lord, I just pray for Naomi that you would connect her with the right doctors who can help her, or that somehow you'd make a way for her to get to the Twin Cities here and see Dr. Troy. But I pray healing for her. I pray encouragement. I pray her encouragement even today, that she'd have a sense of hope that healing and recovery is fully possible. I pray a blessing on her. Bless her sleep. Bless her waking hours. And thank you for who she is, in Jesus' name. Amen. Naomi, thanks for that call. God bless you, dear. All right. We've got an anonymous caller from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you so much for what both of you are doing, first of all. I have an adult 22-year-old daughter that has lifelong, very complicated medical neurological history. In fact, it's difficult to know where to begin. But in essence, about 6 years ago, what was once non-diagnosable became, all of a sudden, she's dealing with an anxiety disorder, OCD. Her tics are worsening. She was diagnosed with a late autistic diagnosis, high functioning. She's very bright. She had surgery, an oral surgery, that seemed to make things much worse. And basically, at this point, everything is continuing to get worse and worse and worse. She's been getting homeopathy, cease therapy. She's diagnosed with PANDAS. In listening to everything you're saying, I just was compelled to pull off the road and call and ask about this, because she's getting cannabis therapy as of recently, and actually it has made things worse. So they're going to change the combination of oils. But does anything come to mind that that might cross your mind that we should consider? It's actually just debilitating her life, causing a lot of difficulty for
her. So sorry. Wow. What do you say, Dr. Troy?
Yeah, the first thing that really has to be addressed is the PANDAS syndrome. And when you have infection like that, the streptococcus can set up a dysbiosis scenario in the digestive system. And so even if she was treated for the panda syndrome, know that there are consequences to that occurring in the first place. And anyone who gets put on the spectrum, the ASD, autism spectrum disorder, at some point there's always a breakdown between how the brain and their digestive system communicate and what we call the brain immune axis. And so what has to happen to start to get your daughter back is treatment for the immune dysfunction, which includes making sure all infection is gone, and also helping the immune system to get stronger. So that has to be measured. And our medical system is brilliant at detecting pathologic diseases and tends to not be as on top of assessing immune function as far as the health of the immune system. And when it comes to the digestive system, we have to make sure the good bacteria is there. And what happens is we tend to, as our immune system becomes more deprived, the vitamin D levels go down. Our antioxidants, which are vital to our immune system, start to deteriorate, including the most important one called glutathione. And you start to see things like heavy metals start to accumulate. And a lot of non-traditional practitioners will chelate out heavy metals and stuff like that. But the reality is you have to work on and fix the digestive disorder, make sure the pandas is not there, and the consequence of the pandas has been truly addressed with good probiotics and get that environment back there working. A lot of people don't know that the majority of serotonin, the feel-good brain chemical that helps us with depression and anxiety, the majority of serotonin is made in your intestinal tract.
Wow.
And when your intestines are on fire, you don't make as much. And so we see these significant brain declines when the digestive system becomes compromised. And pandas basically tells us it was compromised specifically with strep. And so it's important to make sure that was truly addressed. And if it was, then fix the consequences of that.
Thank you for that call. We're going to pause here. Excuse me. When we come back, I'd love to have you just unpack what overuse of antibiotics has done. I mean, there's a time and a place for it, but I think there's times where it's overused, and I'd love to know what you think the ripple effect is to our intestines, our overall health, and even how we respond to food. I see more calls coming in, emails as well. Haley writes in and talks about chronic migraines and has a few questions about that one as well. We welcome your calls. We're here for you. We do believe that God wants to bless you in strength and health, mind, body, and spirit, right? We carry this treasure in these earthen vessels. So we know that the powers of God are not of us, but we do carry this treasure in these earthen vessels, and God wants us to take care of them. Talking to Dr. Troy today, here's the number, 877-933-2484. Email Susie@myfaithradio.com. Back in a moment. For tuning in, I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So blessed to have Dr. Troy in studio with us. You get to hear from him every single month. We're calling it Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. We welcome your questions, talking about the chemical balance in our bodies, emotional balance, physical health, and really the onslaught we're seeing of autoimmune issues and how everything ties in. And truly, if you're somebody who's dealt with chronic illness, I sure am, your emotions are impacted by it. Your chemicals are impacted by your emotional response to your physical issues. It all ties together, and I love Dr. Troy's comprehensive just perspective on these things. So we welcome your questions. Appreciate it so much. Scott is checking in from Mound, I believe. Hey, Scott, how are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. Glad to have you on the air today. You got a question for Dr. Troy?
Yeah, Dr. Troy. Pretty often I have, probably most days of the week, I get some vertigo. And it usually happens around between like 9 and 10 in the morning, probably an hour or two after I'm up. When I take Sudafedrin, it seems to alleviate it. In the past, I'm 58, but in the past, a long time ago, I had two severe inner ear infections, literally where I ended up in the hospital with them. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if I turned my head over, I would throw up. And, so I just didn't know if there could be scarring in there or something, but it seems to be happening most mornings. And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
Yeah, 100%. Just know these are one of the easiest things to fix when you find the actual challenge, so the actual problem. An hour after waking, that's as you were saying that, it basically tells us it's a sinus problem. And what we have to do then is figure out, is the sinus problem structural? In which case, someone can do a sinus decompression, simple procedure, cranial procedure, and you can actually open up the sinuses and they'll drain and that'll help you out. The second part of it is when we're first born, our cells that become our small intestine and line the intestinal tract, they also differentiate and become the lining of our sinuses. So my point with that is our immune system lines our intestinal tract and sinuses. It's meant to. And our immune system is our defense system. And so if you think of our body as a fort, a fortress, and our defense system is our soldiers, if our soldiers are under attack at one end, they're going to let the soldiers know at the other end. So when you have intestinal inflammation or a reaction to a food, it's going to cause a reaction, which is basically increased mucus in our intestinal tract. The same thing will start to happen in our sinuses. So you may have heard of certain foods that are mucus producers, like a lot of people react to dairy, and it's a mucus producer. Well, the reality is if you are eating a food that you have all of a sudden or maybe you've had long term but developed a reaction to, it's going to cause swelling in the mucous membranes of our sinus depending on if you ate it the day before. And so the two things we look at is there a food reaction? Is there a physical imbalance in the actual sinus itself and you need a sinus decompression from the past traumas? Or is there a hidden infection in there that's causing continual problems? Either way, it's a sinus scenario that's involving the mucous membranes because it takes an hour for it to actually occur. So you have to decompress and get that pressure out of the sinuses, and it's going to be one of those scenarios. And occasionally, it's actually jaw dysfunction. So if you grind your teeth at night and the jaw kind of gets tight, that can cause it as well. So I would look in one of those scenarios, but this is one of those things that generally we see is very fixable. In fact, most times we're batting 1,000 with this one. So there's been very few of these cases that haven't been able to be resolved. And you just have to figure out which of those scenarios it is.
I want to tell you, though, at the end of the show today, we'll link up Synapse, the clinic that Dr. Troy has founded. And it is a place, the Center for Healing. It really is, health and healing. Love that so much. All right, we've got Deb checking in from Iowa. Hi, Deb. How are you today? Are you there, dear?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. What city are you calling from?
Actually, around Sioux Center.
Okay. Well, good to have you on the air today. You got a question for Dr. Troy.
I do. Dr. Troy, my husband is 63 years old, and he has been diagnosed with, for about 5 years now, partial epilepsy, and he's been on high doses of as high as it goes, like Vimpat and Keppra. He was up in MNCEP in Minneapolis last July. The thing is, he still has seizures every 5 to 7 weeks. It's almost like clockwork. And I just wondered, with just a little bit of information I've given you here, if you could speak to that. He also has central obstruction. Well, he has obstruction, so he has a CPAP, and now they've put a oxygen line into his machine because they said he's not getting the oxygen in the central also, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'll talk in some general terms here as far as this type of seizure disorder. And what I want people to hear is that when it comes to seizure disorders, it's not your brain is actually not firing too much. The majority of our brain is actually inhibitory. What that means is the majority of our nerves in our brain are meant to calm down the other nerves. That's why when someone has a stroke, you see their arm get stiff and tight and come up on their chest because their muscles are firing more. So when it comes to epilepsy and to nerves, they're not being gated properly, if that makes sense. So there's something else usually interfering with that is what we find. Now, a few things that are known to calm down these types of things are ketogenic diets. And I'm going to bring that up because one of the things you said when it comes to the oxygen scenario is if people are not exchanging oxygen for carbon dioxide properly, then what happens is they become very acidic. and nerves will fire in an acidic environment. So we need them to calm down. So the more you can go to a ketogenic diet and get proper oxygen exchange, the better it's going to be, number one. Number two, when it's central like that, we almost always see an area of the brain, it's in the mesencephalon, it's midbrain, and we almost always see something's not being gated properly there. And for me, I usually find it's a problem from an old injury that's not resolved in one of the hips, shoulders, or neck. And so it'd be like right in the joints of the hip, the shoulders, or in the neck. So I don't know. Is she still there? Can she comment on whether or not there was an old injury or something that happened? If he's had him for 5 years, we're looking at seven years ago.
I mean, physically, he's, if you can hear me, you know, he's very active. He's got a handyman business. So I don't know. He was a football player years ago in high school. So there could be an old injury, but I can't speak to that.
It would be about 7 years ago, and it'd be something a little more obvious. So a physical exam would maybe reveal that. But the reality is, you can still look at the hips, shoulders, neck. Oh, jaw was the other one I forgot to mention, and have those looked at to see if there's any dysfunction there, along with a ketogenic diet. And based off the information I have, that's the best place to start. But you'll be surprised how, by fixing those little things, it can stop that triggering mechanism. And fixing the sleep disorder is very, very important, because we want a proper exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide.
Hmm. Thank you so much, Deb. Okay, Judy from Stillwater, what we're going to do is take her question. We've got about a minute and a half before break. So if we can, if you can keep it succinct, you can start with the answer. We'll pick it up on the other side. We'll also take Jody's call after the break. And then we're going to pause on the calls for a little bit, because we're going to talk about sugar. We're going to talk about supplements. We're going to talk about antibiotic. Do you think we can get all this done in a half hour? I think not, but we're going to try. Judy's checking in from Stillwater. How are you today?
Okay, my husband has had chronic daily headaches, tension headaches, for almost 3 years. And the neurologist did a spinal tap, and there's about 100 white cells in his spinal, the cause of which hasn't been determined yet. He has to have another spinal tap and to order a bunch of tests. And so I'm wondering if that could be the cause of this tension headache. And he also recently had a follicular lymphoma discovered, just a few lymph glands in the abdomen, deep in the abdomen, which they don't consider treating because it's slow growing, a follicular lymphoma. But I'm wondering if that could be related to this whole thing.
Okay, you got about 45 seconds.
45 seconds
Go.
To talk about lymphoma. Okay.
You can pick it up on the other side if you need.
No, the lymphoma is not directly related to the tension headaches, but it does give us clues as to other areas of dysfunction. When our lymph system becomes stagnant, that means our liver is not detoxifying properly, and the liver system definitively is related to headaches, usually migraines, but can also cause a low-level dysfunction, especially if he has what we call that cortisol belly. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean beer belly, but it means that belly that kind of sticks out there a little bit. And then the cranial pressure can definitively cause that. So that has to be followed up with for sure. And if that's not the case, then the lymph system does need to be addressed. And I can talk on the other side what that means and looks like.
Is he a professional or what? More with Dr. Troy when we return. Glad you tuned in today. Wow. I mean, 1 hour went by fast last month, 2 hours whipping by just as fast. I'm Suzy Larson. This is Live the Promise. We've got Dr. Troy in studio. We're so blessed to get him in here once a month to answer your questions on health and healing, chemical, emotional, physical balance, autoimmune issues. And this question you were addressing before the break is so heady, I don't even know how to reset it. But Dr. Troy, we have some people who just tuned in just now. So can you reset what her question is and then finish with the answer?
Yeah, so the question is really about tension headaches, and there is some evidence of some white blood cells in some intracranial pressure going on, and then also a secondary lymphoma, which is basically a tumor in the lymph system. And what I wanted to address, definitely follow up with the white blood cells and intracranial pressure, because that by itself can cause headaches, and it's very important that that is addressed properly. But we also get a lot of information or clues. If you have a lymphoma, lymph is Greek, and it means fast-flowing river or fast-flowing waters. And our lymph system is basically like a river system where all of the garbage in our cells get dumped into this river system, and it flows to our liver. And our liver is like a recycling center. It'll chop up everything and get rid of what we don't need, dump it into our intestinal tract, and we get rid of it. Or it recycles it back to our body to be used again. It's absolutely brilliant. And so when our lymph system becomes congested, picture a river system that just gets full of garbage and it becomes a dam. That's when we start to see problems and dysfunction when it comes to things like lymphomas. So sometimes exposure to really toxic chemicals can cause lymphomas, meaning those toxic chemicals just, they stick in that river system and they cause problems. And sometimes it's not enough water, and because we need water in the river to flow. And muscle contraction is one of those things that helps to push the actual river system, the lymph flow. So when we see a lymphoma with this tension headache scenario, it does lead us to suspect there might be a backup at the liver. Now, I can only say that we suspect that without testing or anything like that. We wouldn't know. But if this gentleman had lost his gallbladder and has had histories of digestive dysfunction or has one of those beer bellies but doesn't drink beer, then we suspect that there's actually liver gallbladder bile congestion, if you will, that can lead to daily headaches as well. So if the cranial pressure turns out to be nothing and it's fine, then I would first look at his lymph system and the ability of the liver and the upper digestive system to handle the load that's occurring. And it's really important. It's not measured all that much. And we physically measure the lymph system, and we see people coming in just absolutely toxic, 20, 30, 40 pounds of toxic waste in their lymph system. So very, very important to keep that clean. And you do that by eating healthy, eating clean, chemical-free, organic as much as possible, drinking lots of water, getting good sleep, and exercise. We need that physical movement to fuel our ability to detoxify.
You know, I remember at one of my speaking events, they did some announcements and a nurse got up and she had everybody stand up and kind of jar, you know, like shake around. And she said, if everybody did that in the morning for a good 30 seconds, she said that would be, it would get your lymph system kind of loosened up or get it going. Yes. Would that be accurate?
That's accurate.
So you just
kind of
like a rag doll. You just, I wish you could see me right now. Just doing it.
Ragdolling.
Doing the rag doll. Okay, let's talk for a moment. And I want to walk through this delicately. But I mean, I remember with all the antibiotic I had to be on for Lyme, and I did feel like it moved me forward to a degree, but I had to learn a lot about it because there was so little known about Lyme back then. But my middle son had chronic respiratory and sinus issues. And there was a time where he kept getting these sinus headaches and pain, and one particular doctor kept re-upping the antibiotic. And finally I said, it's not doing anything. And he actually said to me, don't you care about your son? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm saying this isn't working. Can you do some kind of x-ray to see why this is? And he had polyps all over the inside of his. And so it was like he would have stayed on that antibiotic for such a long time. And I know there's a place for it, but I think it's also overused, my layman's opinion. Love to know your thoughts on just the impact of overuse of antibiotics.
Well, I agree with your layman's opinion. I am not against medications. I'm against the improper use of medications. Many medications save lives, but we have gotten lost in our medical world, and really our medical world right now, and a lot of my family members, good friends, live in that. My wife works in it, and so we still are a part of it. And I believe we have the best emergency medical system in the world. I 100% believe that. But the reality is we become a disease management system, not a healthcare system. Mm. And so if we're talking healthcare, antibiotics fall in the realm of they can save lives because they can help with infection. But they're getting much, much more recommend than they need to be. And it's not just because they're creating superbugs. The reality is antibiotics are very, very acidic to our body, and they definitely will go after certain types of bacteria and destroy them. But there's a lot of bacteria that are similar. And so, for example, there's stuff called gram-negative and gram-positive. And the infection might be gram-negative, and the antibiotic goes after gram-negative. But we may have also all these other beneficial bacteria that are gram-negative as well. And so the antibiotic is not specific enough to determine what's infection and what is good bacteria that actually helps with our digestive system. And it's becoming problematic. I have a family that lives up in northern Canada, and there was a report from the Canadian government at one point that the salmon up there and the wild-caught salmon in the streams were toxic with antibiotics. And that is simply from the runoff from Canadian urine. I know that's gross. Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, my Canadian friends. But
because that doesn't happen in the U.S.,
that,
right?
Yes, right. Yes.
We've got Canadian listeners, and you know I'm joking, right? I'm sure our salmon are packed full as well. But anyway.
Well, Canada's actually quite a bit more cleaner than the United States. But the reality is there are impact in a negative way that occur when we have the excessive use of the antibiotics. And the reality is we're supposed to first do no harm in the medical world, which means, I think it means starting with just changing our diet, lifestyle, and really starting with those little things first. Because the majority of doctors I know, they get into it for one of two reasons, to help people or because it's a good livelihood. What I see now is they are the most overworked, frustrated group population because of, I think, they've gone down this rabbit hole of the pharmaceutical world more than they should. And so they're very frustrated because they want to help their patients, and their patients continually come back with other challenges and problems. And the reality is we know if you're on one medication, there's about a 10% chance of a side effect. Two medications, there's a 50% chance of a side effect. Three or more, 100% chance of a side effect, and doctors are getting sick and tired of managing side effects. And so instead of getting to the root cause, and so are the patients. And so antibiotics fall into that category, and we do see a concerted effort by the American Medical Association to decrease the antibiotic recommendations. We see that they recognize they're being overprescribed. So this is not news to them either.
Mm-hmm. You know, and let's talk personal responsibility too for a moment,
yes.
Because I can imagine doctors feeling like they just want to rub their temples when, you know, you prescribe a Lipitor or some kind of statin for high cholesterol, and they take it, the patient takes it as a silver bullet, and they still have their favorite tater tot casserole every weekend. I mean, there is a point, right, where we have to take some personal responsibility. Another scenario would be an antidepressant without getting to the root cause of what's going on. Now, I know there are chemical imbalances, but and I've been very honest about my journey. About 20 years ago, I walked through a low-level depression, and I took an antidepressant. I felt like I would have slipped into a black hole without it. But I went to counseling once a week, and I thought, I have to get to the bottom of what this was about. And he said, I wish so badly that there were more people that would want to get to the bottom of it. And I was on this antidepressant for a year, weaned off, and have not looked back. Now, I know I'm not a typical case as far as some have chemical issues. But let's talk to the rest of the population who want to treat symptoms but not ever look at the root cause, because there's a fullness of health you're missing if you just want to medicate the symptoms, right?
100% right. And that's the movement that is occurring, because the system we've created will collapse. It won't last forever. And the reality is, just like we were talking earlier about being a Christian, there's a process to that. And sometimes we suffer, and that suffering is what makes us stronger. And biblically, we know we've been given one body, and it's a temple. And how are you treating that temple? And when you truly look at what some of the medications are for some of the people, or what we're putting in our mouth as far as food, there is significant chaos going on inside that temple that we are introducing. We've let the doors open, and we're letting this bad food, toxic food, if you will, or toxic thoughts or toxic medications into our system. And so it's very, very important to recognize that the majority of people have much more control than they think about. And some of my lectures I've done, I lecture across the United States, and one of them is on obesity and the actual literature, what it says about how preventable certain cancers are. And some of these numbers are upwards of 80% preventable for certain types of cancers with just diet and lifestyle. Diabetes into the 90%. 90% of diabetes preventable with diet and lifestyle. And so accountability is very, very important. And it's really easy to just try and take a pill to cover up the symptom. But the reality is, if that worked, you wouldn't need another pill for the next symptom, and so on and so on.
Well, what would you say a healthy lifestyle looks like? I mean, for those of us who've medicated I haven't medicated myself to death. I don't mean to say that self-righteously. I'm trying to be, but, you know, as a population, as a people who have treated symptoms and who have maybe numbed pain and who have eaten when we're frustrated or depressed, let's back up the truck a little bit and just give some basic indicators of someone who's just living, approaching health from a preventative mindset. Just some basic everyday choices. What does that look like?
Sure. I'll give you the five basics. And the other thing, I do want to say one last thing on our culture here, because we have to change it. I did grow up in Canada. I live in the United States. I travel around the world and see other cultures. And we have we've been just gifted here in the United States. But the reality is we consume 70% of the world's medications.
Whoa.
And so we are the guinea pigs for the rest of the world. And growing up in Canada, time and time again, what they do is they wait to see how us Americans react to a drug before they legalize it. And a lot of things are banned in Europe and Canada that are accepted here. So we are the guinea pig population for the world when it comes to pharmaceuticals. And so having said that, I want to just focus on the five things that you can do to actually help get you on the path for a healthy lifestyle. And I'll show you how it's correct, because I'll ask you some questions and you will answer it for me. So the first one is, let me just say this. When you're sick, what do people tell you to do? Healthy people.
Yeah, get rest and drink plenty of fluid.
Okay. Drink lots of water, we'll say, and get lots of rest. Mm-hmm. So the first two things you can do is get good sleep. And the majority of Americans have some level of sleep disorder, whether it's staying up late watching TV, on their electronics, or physically, because of what we talked about earlier, some people with digestive disturbances, they're not getting good quality sleep. They don't wake up feeling rested. And then plenty of water. So what else do they say? What do they say to take? Not medication-wise, but when you're sick, what's one thing they say you should take or consume?
Oh, soup? No, I don't know.
Yes, chicken noodle soup.
Really?
Right?
I'm
yes.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm putting her on the spot.
I love being put on the spot. Is this what this feels like, Dr.
Yes,
Craig?
It does. So the reason is because of the immune properties. The other thing that they tell you to take is antioxidants, vitamin C. They just go take vitamin C. And the reason for that is because our immune system requires vitamin C. It's basically like Popeye and spinach. The vitamin C is an antioxidant. It fuels our immune system. So when it comes to antioxidants, we get that with fruits and vegetables and some supplements. And I'm going to just make a quick comment on the supplement part of it. Supplements are only meant to supplement a healthy lifestyle. I want you to remember that. They supplement a healthy lifestyle. They do not fix things on their own unless it's a severe deficiency. In our stage of the game, in the world we live right now, they're meant to supplement a healthy lifestyle. That's how you get the home run, so to speak. So we've got good sleep. We've got antioxidants. And we've got water. The other two are exercise. Again, when I was talking about with the lymph system, we need exercise to push the lymph system, help detoxify. So it doesn't even have to be strong exercise. It can be 10 minutes. It can be walking. We need movement, movement, movement. Motion is life. And the last one is a healthy diet. And what that means is a clean, healthy, low-glycemic diet. Generally speaking, vegetables, you can have unlimited. Meat or protein, if you can digest it properly, should be no bigger than the size of your palm of your hand stretched out. And carbohydrates should be no bigger than your fist. That's a serving. If you follow those general rules and guidelines, you'll be eating appropriate calories and start your path to a very healthy lifestyle.
Awesome. And then you know what? It takes us a long time to kind of get messed up. So it just takes time to see the suddenly breakthrough with your health, doesn't it? Just
100%.
The everydayness of it, of one right choice after the other. Don't give up. So when we come back, we're going to talk sugar. I just want to talk about sugar because I think there's things that maybe you don't know, and we consume so much sugar, and even that you really can't lose weight on diet soda. That's what I heard anyway. I love diagnosing things.
Yes.
I should be a doctor. I'm just kidding. More with Dr. Troy when we return.
It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. So move. Keep walking. So just keep moving.
You want to get that lymph system going, put on some Toby Mac in the morning and do the rag doll. It's good for your health. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise. We've got Dr. Troy in studio. We're so blessed we get to have him every month. We're calling this feature Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. And if you just tuned in, to recap, five really distinctive choices you can make starting today and every day for your health. One is establish a good bedtime, right? Drink lots of water. Get your fruits and vegetables. Get some exercise. What was the fifth one? Antioxidants. No, that's fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, fruits and vegetables. Eating right.
Yeah, clean diet.
Clean diet,
yeah. So there you go. So let's talk for a minute about sugar. And tell me if this is right, but I'd heard this, read this somewhere, that sugar is connected to inflammation. And like in Alaska, they have a high-fat diet, but they don't have a lot of heart disease because they have a low-sugar diet, where the sugar creates inflammation in the vessel, which creates these little tears, and so then the fat gets caught on the tears, and that's when we get heart disease. Is that true?
That actually is. I'm impressed.
Thank you. So, you should take it from here.
Yes, yeah. I don't think I need to. You did such a great job. Yeah, the cholesterol gets a signal from these cells called foam cells, and the cholesterol is like duct tape. It comes in there and patches up the tears. And so the inflammation is really what has to be taken care of, the free radical damage and inflammation. And everyone's blaming cholesterol, but really cholesterol is just doing its job. So if we take care of the inflammation, the cholesterol becomes a non-factor. So sugar, let me just say it this way. In 1900, the average American consumed 5 pounds of sugar a year. So 5 pounds over the entire year. In 2005, 100 years later, 100 plus years later, the average American consumed over 155 pounds of sugar. And so that's a shocking difference. And I equate it this way. I grew up in the generation that watched Little House on the Prairie and stuff like that. And Laura Ingalls used to go out there, and a treat would be a sugar cube. And they would have that, and that would be their treat for the year, basically. And that's more the reality of what they and how they grew up with. And now you can get 20 of those sugar cubes from one drink at the school during a recess. And so it's something that is very, very detrimental to us because we're not meant to be in that much excess when it comes to sugar.
What does sugar do to us when we consume so much?
Well, it does actually cause inflammation, and it gets stored as glycogen. And so we get these stores of, long story short, fat, basically. And so we'll start to see fat deposits. And even as adults, you'll start to see it and recognize it as higher triglycerides, or you'll get a diagnosis like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And so the fat suffocates our liver, which is our main organ to help with detoxification. Similar story to what we talked about earlier with the gentleman who might be having those tension headaches. A lot of those tension headaches can come from the liver not doing what's supposed to with the lymph because of excess carbohydrate intake. And it can actually cause almost a suffocating of that organ. And the way they test for diabetes is something called glycosylated hemoglobin. So basically, they're looking for a sugar that's attached to your hemoglobin molecule. So basically, if you have excess sugar floating around there, it literally will stick to the main transport of oxygen to our body, hemoglobin. That's where anemia and stuff starts to come in. So that the lab test to see if you have diabetes is if you have this extra sugar attaching to it. And what we see is, what would happen if we dumped just a couple tons of sugar in a river system? It'd get all sticky and gluey and gummy and become more like a lava sim syrup. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing. So you see this low, slow, sluggish lymph system because of sugar. So inflammation, and it literally gums up the system.
Wow.
One way to say it.
You know, Jo Bender, she hosts the noon show on Friday for Neil Stavem, and she said in her meeting today that she gave up sugar and she started to sleep.
Yes.
Why is that? That's amazing.
Well, if it was causing inflammation in the digestive tract, one mechanism is that, number one, you have less inflammation. Serotonin, like we'd mentioned before, the brain chemical, is primarily comes from the digestive system. Serotonin gets converted into a hormone called melatonin. Melatonin is the deep sleep hormone. So it could be the fact that the inflammation decreased, or serotonin went up, and therefore she got more melatonin. The other thing that happens is, it once we regulate our blood sugar, if we have good blood sugar and less stress, then a brain chemical called GABA increases in our brain. And so we need a balance between our insulin, our cortisol, and our blood sugar, and our GABA will start to go up. GABA is the brain chemical that calms you down and relaxes the brain. And so alcohol mimics GABA. So for all those listeners out there who say they need a glass of wine to go to bed at night, it means you have some sugar or stress issues that GABA and your GABA is down a little bit. And so the healthy way to do it is to take sugar out and manage your stress.
Wow.
Give it to God, surrender, and that will produce way more GABA than alcohol because alcohol has other detrimental effects later on.
Wow, so amazing. And I've also heard that sugar, for those who have arthritic conditions, they feel the pain because of inflammation, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, we've got about 2 minutes before we wrap up, and I want to make sure you get a chance to talk about TBN. Tell us about it.
Yes. So later in May 15th, I'm going to be down in Orlando, Florida, and I am there at Edgewater Commerce Parkway. It's basically New Beginnings Church. And they're going to be doing an interview. They're going to be taping the interview at 10 a.m. on May 15th at New Beginnings Church. The program is called New Beginnings, and it'll air on TBN Salsa, which is the newest network to be launched under the Trinity Broadcasting family of networks. The program is seen in about 28 different states in America and is viewable through on-demand as well at itbn.org. And Pastor Jonathan Miller is going to be interviewing me on health and healing as well.
Wow, congratulations. Yeah. So when you come back next month, by then the video, I'm sure, will be up of that interview, and we can post it on the show page. Okay, one last question for you before we pray here. How do you, everybody's pulling on you, everybody wants something from you, when you have this temptation, and maybe you don't deal with it anymore, but for your thoughts to go south, to get discouraged, because everybody gets tired, he's smiling over there, but that never happens to you. How do you rein it back in, and maybe you get there quicker because you've trained yourself to not let yourself go in the ditch? How do you do that?
Oh, I wish that were the story.
Yeah? Okay. Oh, good, we're all human.
No, yeah. Very human. Mm-hmm. You know what, this is 100% the honesty. Usually it's because I'm saying certain words to someone else.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
And then I hear my words coming out of my mouth, and I'm like, man, you should be saying that to yourself based on what you were just thinking 20 minutes ago.
Mm.
And so that's usually how it happens for me.
Mm.
And so for me, I see it as if I'm doing the work God intended me to do, I'm going to get that back if I pay attention. And then I have to go to the Word. I have to read my Bible, and I have to be living it and doing it. And so those are the two ways, because I still catch myself. I have bad days. I have bad moments. If you want to get my wife and my staff in here, they will verify all that for you.
No, that's awesome. Well, we all do, and I appreciate the honesty behind that, because that's why we need each other, right?
Yes, 100%.
And I love what you're saying, because I think when we're walking in our calling, it does activate something, and I think we get there quicker rather than approaching life as a spectator, you know,
yep.
Sitting on the couch of ease. Well, as we wrap up, I'm going to just pray for you listening today. I believe God has more for you. I think He has more for you in health, emotional health, spiritual, physical health, and that will impact your call. So let's just pray for a moment, can we? Father, thank you for my friend listening today, and I pray that you would bless him, bless her. I pray, God, you connect them with the right people at the right time. I pray you'd untangle their fears and their hurts. And Lord, if there's a cumulative stress, if there are chronic issues and there are simple solutions, would you open their eyes to what those would be? And I pray that we would move into a place of healing and health and wholeness in such a way that would deeply impact our calling. Thank you, God, for the way you made us and the people like Dr. Troy you've put in our path. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In your name, amen. Dr. Troy, God bless you, and thank you once again for a great show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Dr. Troy's clinic is located in Eagan, Minnesota, and we will link that up on our show page here in just a moment. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And in just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you know someone who needs to hear today's show, be a radio missionary. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.